Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's Mark Rawson, and I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we kind of switched our schedule around, so we're running one show a month now, and I'm actually really excited because we're actually booked up almost to the end of the year now with guests and everything. You know, to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And I'm going to go ahead and pull in my co-host, Pam. Hold on for one moment. Wow, we're getting some background sound on there. We're actually going to have Pam call back in again and should be joining us in a few minutes. See, every once in a while we have a little bit of problems with sound and everything. And normally it's me, but this time around I actually had a chance to mute myself. So with the fancy microphones and everything, sometimes we still have some problems. So now, with that, let me go ahead and introduce our guest and everything while I wait for Pam to dial back in. So this evening we have with us Terry Pappy. And Terry Pappy is actually a friend of mine and somebody that I got introduced to when I had a chance to take part in one of the courses. And we're going to find out all about all the courses that she's created and the different programs and stuff like that. But I had decided that just like pretty much a lot of people, I needed some work on some of my relationship stuff. And I found out about Terry through some mutual friends. And I had a chance to take a look at her Compass Playbook program. I'm so used to having Pam, let me just check and see. Pam is online. Ah, there you are. Yeah, I kind of muted my microphone because I thought it was my microphone causing problems. Thank goodness you're there, Pam. I was feeling very lost.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Latour, and I'm the co-host of the show. And I'm sorry I'm a little bit late tonight. But Blog Talk kept ringing in busy for me. I couldn't get on. So, and when I did, it was a bit weird. So I'm glad I'm on. And hello, Mark. And tonight, if I can rescue you, we have a very special guest. Mark, I think, was explaining his relationship with her. Her name is Terry Pappy. Is that right? Hello?
That is correct, yes.
Hi, Terry. Like, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. So I always tell people it's like happy with a P. So they call me Happy Pappy.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it looks like you've got quite an extensive background. And, Mark, I'm sorry, I sort of jumped in and interrupted your story about Terry. Can you finish it?
Well, you know, I always like telling stories and everything. Why don't we go ahead and finish her introduction, and then I'll talk about, you know, some of the reasons why I signed up for the program and what it's done for me so far.
Okay. Well, Terry has a professional creative background. I'd like to know what Compass Playbook is. This is something that I think she created. It's an online program. And she's a fascinating, looks like a fascinating author, interesting person. And let's just go right ahead and get to it.
Sure. So let's go ahead and bring Terry in, and then I'll tell the story. Hey, Terry, it's great to have you on with me and Pam.
Hey, thank you. You guys are so funny. I love it. Thank you for that.
I'm trying to catch up here quick.
Well, it was funny. I think I just posted the numbers the other day. I mean, you know, me and Pam created Spiritual Connections Radio. It feels like almost like a year ago. It's actually been longer. But I was looking between our show and the other shows and everything that we've run. We've done, you know, not between just me and Pam, but with everybody else. You know, Spiritual Connections Radio actually hit 2,000 shows the other day, which was quite a landmark for us. And I know between me and Pam, we've done some special shows on weekends and prime time. I think we've probably done close to 60 shows over the last year. So it's been a great journey, and I've enjoyed working with Pam. And with that, I'd like to kind of promote Pam's sister network. Why don't you go ahead and talk about that for a minute, Pam?
Well, thanks, Mark. I have started a sister network quite a while ago now, maybe 9 months ago, called Pamela Latour Radio, very descriptive, if nothing else. And and we do all kinds of different shows. Insights and Umbrellas on Thursday morning, which is with Dr. Kelly Brady, a Chinese doctor and psychotherapist, and we talk about very serious subjects in a very light way. We laugh a lot and sort of celebrate the perfection and the imperfection of life. And the first Monday of the month, the first Tuesday of the month, tomorrow night, I do a Soul Travelers show with a hypnotherapist, which many of you probably know. Her name is Patricia McGivern. She's very well known in the Tampa area, and she's written several books. And we do a show on past life regression, and different people come on to the show to talk about the different things they've experienced during their past life regression and how it's affected their present life. And we've got many other things going on as well. So if you'd like to check it out, PamelaTourRadio.com. Also, Mark, if you don't mind, I'd like to mention on the 21st and 22nd of this month is the Body, Mind, Spirit Expo in Tampa. And I'm going to be doing a two-hour workshop on Sunday the 22nd at 2 o'clock. Called Leaving Limbo and Returning to Love. And it's basically a two-hour fun exercises and interesting concepts of how to get unstuck, basically. It's for those people that are kind of not really who they used to be anymore. And I think many of us feel that way. We've done the same job and played the same roles our whole life, and then you kind of get to a point where you don't feel like that person anymore, but you don't really know who you're becoming. And you kind of merge into this limbo state. And it's just a two-hour fun workshop on how to pull yourself out and move forward into the person you're becoming. So thank you for giving me that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes?
Just to go over that again, that's in Tampa. Where in Tampa and what are the dates again?
It's June 21st and 22nd, and it's at the Sheraton, Airport Sheraton. I think it's on West Shore or very close to West Shore. I think it's on West Shore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it sounds about right. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. It's always great to hear about the sister network, and also I know you travel quite a bit to do lectures around the world, so it's really neat that you're going to get a chance to lecture in Tampa. So I highly recommend everybody that's in the area or who can fly into Tampa, if you get a chance to fly in and see Pam at MindBody. So that'll be really cool.
Well, thanks. That's very
So as always, I have a story that goes with this. And, you know, I was looking to kind of work through some of my relationship stuff I had been working on, and I was looking for a good program. I had originally developed my own relationship course about a year ago and, you know, had a chance to kind of look at some of the different pieces that go into laws of attraction and, you know, working with relationships and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've had some really wonderful experiences over the last couple of years. It's interesting because in some relationships you find out it's not what you put on the paper sometimes. It's what you forget to put on the paper that comes back to bite you in the butt. And I learned that really strongly with my last relationship. So, you know, I was looking for a relationship course, and I had some friends I was working with in Orlando. And one of them told me to go check out Terry and her program. And that gave me an introduction. We'll get into what Compass Playbook is and everything like that. But what was amazing for me, I'm almost done with the program. I've been in it for quite a few weeks now, is that it's very interesting because when you're working on relationships, you know, it reminds me of something I saw in the Landmark Forum program, which is there's this idea of there is what you know, there is what you know you don't know, and then there's the third variable, which comes up in the course, which gets cleared out quite a bit. And as also, like I said, talked about in the Landmark Forum with some stuff. And that is there's what you don't know that you don't know, which I call like a blind spot. And what I've learned through this really creative program called Compass Playbook is it's allowed me through a creative process to really see my blind spots. And it's just absolutely amazing. So, you know, with that, why don't we go ahead and bring you on, Terry, and why don't you talk to us about what is Compass Playbook and how did you come up with it and create it?
Well, thanks, Mark, and thanks, Pam. I appreciate you guys having me on the show and for the great intro. Compass is it really started as a brainstorm that I had back in 2010. And it took me about a year to kind of formulate what it was. And I have a 30-plus year career professionally as a designer and a writer. And I started doing a lot more with writing in probably the last decade and a half, writing several books and whatnot. And in the work that I do in my design business, as well as the things that I've learned in my journey as a professional and just in my personal journey of a self-examined life is that, you know, we really have everything we need in order to accomplish our goals. But what we don't have are the tools to actually help us get that out. And so we go and we look for these resources outside of us, and they end up not really being as effective or long-term as we like. So I was like, there's got to be a way to combine the skills and talents that I have, the things that I've learned in all of the development that I've done as a human being, and just to leverage this in a way that can help people close that gap. And so I came up with this brainstorm of doing some sort of workbook that had creative problem-solving exercises, which are as simple as doing a little writing, drawing, storyboarding, mind mapping, visualizations, you know, listening to music and certain types of affirmational type of sentiments where you get to focus on specific things. And I wrote the original draft of Compass Playbook in 2011. And as I was developing the framework for Compass. I did workshops, and in the workshops, I was testing a lot of the exercises. And the people that were coming in and helping me figure this out were having these incredible breakthroughs in doing these simple drawings, simple lists. You know, telling a story, coming up with these different types of flows of, you know, stick figure drawings. And I was blown away at how doing something so simple that people were really able to have some breakthroughs in the things that were most important to them. And the reason why that was happening was
because people were actually sourcing it themselves. They weren't really using someone's formula or taking a, you know, step one, step two, step three on how to do X. It was really like they were pulling from within what was most important to them, and they were connecting with that passion, and they were identifying ways of sustaining that and then being inspired by that. And when you're working with something from the standpoint of being inspired, it's like a train can't stop you. You just go and go and go, as opposed to where you're trying to motivate yourself to do something and achieve a goal, when in actuality you're really just trying to avoid a negative outcome. So this is basically what happened, was we started doing these workshops and having these breakthroughs, and I put this Compass playbook together, and it was published in 2011.
Wow, that's a phenomenal story. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you, Terry, about how you got started in this. I mean, you did say that you were doing workshops and whatnot, but how did you get started 30 years ago when you first began the process?
Well, it all started with being a very creative kid, and I was very artistic, and I loved living in dream world and imagining and just having that crazy life. I can remember when I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I did this. I loved animals and stuffed animals and whatnot, and I did this book. I made my first book, actually, and it was an animal diary. And what I did was I drew all of these animals, and they were each representing a letter in the alphabet. And I'd name them, and then I would write stories about them. And they all had unique features. Like, I had Freddy the Frog with the reinforced crotch because he was always worried he was going to sink to the bottom of the pond. So I had the funniest stories about these little critters, and I was so self-entertained. And it started with just loving to draw, and as I graduated high school, I was like, okay, do I want to be a journalism major, or do I want to go to art school for higher education? And much to my dad's chagrin, I chose art, and he was always very worried about me because he had this story in his head about, you know, starving artists, and he wanted me to be self-sufficient and, you know, basically get off of his tab as an adult. So, but he let me go because he knew how excited I was about it and how important it was to me. And so I went and pursued a degree in commercial art. And then, like all of us, you know, we go to college, we get our education, and we go out into the workforce. And I had the most, and continue to have, the most wonderful professional career of a ton of different wonderful jobs, where I've worked for a newspaper, I've worked for a printing company, advertising agencies. I've been on the client side where I've helped companies that sell financial products, telecom, healthcare, consulting, you know, ambulance companies, transportation companies, a whole variety of different types of businesses. And as I worked in all of these different capacities, I really well-rounded my artistic and just commercial art and design skills. So it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago that I was working for Marriott. And one of my favorite jobs working for Marriott, I was on their web design team, and I was leading all the designers and running that for them here in Orlando. And they obviously were hit by the economy changes, and they decided to outsource a lot of their folks, including myself. And I had been with them for 6 years, and it was about a year after my husband passed away. So it was not the best timing to actually be out of work and still dealing with a very, very fresh and poignant trauma of losing the love of my life. But that propelled me into doing a lot of writing, and that's when I published my first book, which is 14 Days. And that was a memoir about my first husband and our relationship and our love story. And I just couldn't stop writing after that. So I was like, wow, I hear I've been doing all this design for all these years, and I've latent writing skill just kind of take a back burner. So now I feel like a DJ at a, you know, at a club where I'm working both turntables of the writing and the design. And so I started my own business, and I started working with wonderful, wonderful clients that I still have to this day. This will be my seventh year, I believe, in my business, which is called Better Three. And I developed the early stages of the Compass Playbook framework in this business that's executed through the business. And when I work with clients, I always have conversations with them about, well, what is your story? You know, what is it about your company that makes it so special? And what do you really want for your customers? How do you want them to feel when you do business with them? Because for me, as a creative, I have to understand where their heart is. I have to know what their vision is for their business. And so I was able to actually tell their story for them and make it sexy and pretty, as we all need to have things look in the professional world. But the way I would write about them had so much more impact, and it enabled them to really show a side of their business that was so unique and distinct that it enabled them to be, like, basically without competitors, because they were telling their story, and we're all unique in our own ways. And so these things and techniques that I was developing as I would work with them helped me come up with the framework for Compass. It's a lot of what I do in my business is in the Compass framework, but it's not about business. It's about you and me. And that's kind of how it all evolved in my professional career to date. So right now I'm managing and running Compass and loving it. Better Three is doing great, and it's a very rich and textured professional life that I have right now.
That's wonderful. Can I just add one more thing before I turn it over to Mark? This is what I think if there's one thread that sort of follows your story, what I got very strongly was this concept of integration. You take everything and you make it your own. All of the jobs that you've done, you've made it your own. The people that you've worked for, you've integrated that heart energy into you, which is why you could write so effectively about them. And I think that's what I hear about the Compass Playbook as well. The Compass Playbook, you have. It seems very clear to me that you generated this playbook where anyone can integrate their thoughts and ideas and put them together in a way that is clearer to them than it's ever been. What do you think about that summary?
I love that. That's really, and you know, it's, thank you for that, because that's a distinction that I never, standing in my myopic point of view of my own life, have not really been able to embrace. And I really appreciate that, because it has been a rich integration of many different skill sets and interests and passions. And I love that I'm able to do that. And I don't see why any one person would have to pick one thing, like, oh, I want to be just a lawyer, or, oh, I want to just be a pharmacologist or a, you know, a truck mechanic. I only work on Mack trucks. I mean, we all have so many different dimensions to us, and yet we kind of get pigeonholed, and we allow that to happen. And I just love that I've had the life that I've had so far, that I've been able to bring in all of these different capacities, talents, experiences that I've had with other people in my life, what they've given to me and brought to me, and the personal journey that I've been on as far as, you know, healing from my traumas as a young person. And we all have our own scars and our own traumas that we've gone through in life that have shaped who we are. And I treasure mine, and it's taken me a long time to look at that from that perspective as opposed to a perspective of victimhood. And those are also components of what has enabled me to bring in a realness and an authenticity into the work that's the Compass framework and the work I do in my business, that enables people to, like, go, wow, this is so refreshing and so effective. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Mark, I'll turn it over to you now.
All right, sounds good. So what I'll do is I'll just kind of talk about something, because I know for a lot of people, and I know I was one of these people in the beginning before I started the course, you know, when you start talking about drawing and creative writing and all these different aspects that make up the playbook, you know, I can be honest with you and just tell you I was kind of scared out of my mind, actually. And, you know, there's a story behind that. And, you know, it goes back to when I was in about fourth grade. And, you know, I had an art teacher who took one look at my work and basically made me look like a fool in front of all my fellow students. And, you know, because of that, I've always kind of shied away from anything that's creative as far as writing, drawing, or anything like that. And it's funny because, you know, Terry actually has a guarantee in the program that basically I had a, I guess long story short, I had a breakthrough the first day in the program where I actually did a drawing. And it's actually the first drawing I've done in probably about 30 years. So it was just amazing to see. And I kind of put that out there because I know for a lot of people, they get a little freaked out when they start hearing about, you know, that the program has these requirements in it. You know, and the nice thing about it is a lot of exercises that are in the program have a couple different ways of going at it. So, you know, if you don't care to draw, there's other ways of doing it. So it's just it was kind of funny because I shared my drawing, and this group along with the class has a private Facebook group where all the students get to share with each other and work with each other through the program. And, you know, it was a comment that came back, and, you know, it was just kind of funny because she said, well, I guess I don't have to, you know, do the guarantee on that one. You've had a breakthrough already. And I said, yes, it's a breakthrough already, and just a very powerful one. And, you know, I've noticed what I've seen come out of it, besides all the incredible stuff that's happening in the program as I work towards, you know, working on a relationship. Is that that outside of that, just anything I do, like when I work with clients or you know, if I'm, you know, kind of working through something personally, I'll get out a piece of paper and start drawing something out. I might mind map it and stuff like that, and I'll look back and go, I wonder where I learned that. So it's just amazing to see all the tools that came out of that. So I'll personally thank you, because I know for me, it's been an incredible, like a very incredible breakthrough. And, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you put this course together. So with that, I'm just going to take a commercial break right now. Just let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. We're on the internet, which is where you can find the link for the replays for any of our shows. As I mentioned earlier, we have about 4,000 shows that you can go back and listen to in the archives. And you can find the link for that, find out about the shows, the guests, all the websites and stuff like that by going to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'll go ahead and hand it back to you, Pam.
Okay. Let's see. Let me readjust my energy here. What kind of programs are you doing right now with Compass Playbook? You mentioned that you did workshops and things. Do you have a scheduled time that you do these workshops? Are they weekly? Are they once a month? Are they? Tell me about them.
Well, thanks, Pam. Yes, I'll talk a little bit about that. But first, Mark, thanks for that great story. I'm so glad you shared it. And I just want to add to it, when I started doing the Compass Playbook workshops, I called them write shops at the time. And when we were doing those, it's amazing how we have such a block around our own creativity, when in fact we are all creative beings. And we take this for granted because of our education and enculturation, how we're brought up, what we see in the world. And we have decisions and stories about, well, to be creative, you have to be artistic. And when you say things like that, you're implying that there's going to be this judgment, this evaluation on the quality or caliber of your execution of whatever you're creating. And you know, and that's the first thing that I love to just kind of break down and just say, listen, guys, you're going to draw like you were 5 years old. And when you give, when we gave permission to the participants in the workshop that they could just do whatever they wanted and have fun with it and just with wonderment and be goofy and silly, and it was amazing the shift that people would experience. I'm getting chills just talking about it, that anybody and everybody, whether they, regardless of their degree of skill, that has nothing to do with it. Because what we found in the work is that your brain receives a whole different type of stimulation when it sees something visually. Because when you're looking at language, at writing, at words, when you're reading, it's almost like you're translating through your brain what that intention is, what that meaning is. But when we look at a very simple drawing, which is why the simpler, the more rudimentary, the more stick figure, the more goofy, the more fastly drawn the image is, the better the brain receives it, because it becomes a very emotional connection for the brain. What does that mean? Do you see a smiley face? Do you see a frowny face? The brain gets that so quickly, and it's incredibly powerful and freeing. So the whole drawing breakthrough that happens in the very, very early part of the program is mandatory, that people just kind of let it go and just let it all hang out and have a good time. So thanks, Mark, for that great story, and I'm glad that that was your earliest breakthrough. Now, Pam, as far as the actual workshop, we are currently on hiatus temporarily for workshops, because we're developing a completely new workshop format. And I'll speak to that in a second. But as I mentioned, the Compass Playbook original, you know, like print version, the book itself, was printed and published in 2011. And it was a very general tool. And it's still, you know, people can go to Amazon and get the book. And you can use the 52 plays in it on any topic that's important to you. But what we were finding was that people were kind of a little lost with that. They really wanted a little bit more structure as far as a topic and something that they could have a little bit more support and guidance. And so the way we evolved the technology and the education that is now is we decided to make it available online through a series of very specific online programs. So what we have now is the current course that's available as the first online program is the Relationships course. Now, this course is available now. People are in it and enjoying it and having all kinds of breakthroughs. And this is specific to relationships that are of a romantic nature, so looking for your soulmate. If you're recently transitioning out of a relationship, like you're divorced or separated, or, you know, you're on your way into something new, or you're ready to start dating again, whatever the situation is there, or you're just really in a relationship and you just kind of lost that fire and that fun and you just want to get it back, how do you do that? You know, so you've got this married couple, they've been married for 15 years, they've gone through the whole kid thing, and they're just like, how do we get, you know, this zip back in our life? You know, this is a wonderful course for that. So whether it's finding your soulmate, that ideal partner, you know, getting back out there again, or just making, you know, your current relationship more zesty and fun and full of the love that you originally started it out as, this is a great course for that. We have four main, I guess you could say, categories of programs, and these are the four areas that we found through the work that we did in the original workshop that people were most interested in. Obviously, relationships is number one. The second one is well-beingness, and that's all about health, your body. How is your self-image? What are you doing to give yourself and your physicality a wonderful experience as you're living? You know, what are you doing to make the most of your physical body? The third program is abundance, and that's the next program that we're actually going to be releasing in the fall. That, of course, is the online program, and that's all about your relationship with money, finances, abundance in the form of the material things that come into your life that the bounty, you know, like I want that car, I want that house, I want that job, I want that, you know, retirement account, I want that big palatial McMansion on the private island, you know, all that good stuff. So it's all about the lifestyles of the rich and famous. And then the final course, which I am actually most excited about, is called Creative Self-Expression. And that is all about how we express ourselves in the world through our skills and talents, our vocation, our job. What are we doing to give back to the world? How are we expressing who we are, our unique self, out in the world? How are we making a difference? How are we inspiring others and improving lives? And how are we enriching our lives by doing that, by being that expression of our uniqueness in the world? So the Relationships Program online is available now. The Abundance course will be coming online in the fall, if not sooner, because that one, we're already working on that one. And the Well-Beingness will be available this winter, and the Creative Self-Expression will come out in the spring of next year. So that's the order. Now, within those four areas, we will be having more specific scrutiny into each one. For example, in relationships, we will do the next program will be about your relationships with friends or your relationships with your family members, like your children. So we'll be delving down into contextual framework where we take the people through the plays and the courses when they want something very specific. Like, you know, I've got a really rocky relationship with my mom. I just can't figure out how to communicate with her. I love her, but it's been tumultuous since day one. I really want to do something about that. I want to have a better relationship with her. You know, she's getting up in years, and I just realize how precious it is and how much I love her, so I want to do something to improve that relationship. Well, we'll be developing courses that will help people do that. So it's really important that what we're doing is really for inspiring people to find their center, to find their story, and use the tools and the framework that we're providing so they can actually create their own experiences and find their own solutions. And it makes it so much easier. So the workshops will probably be coming online, I would say, next year. And these will be delivered, initially they'll be delivered in very specific cities across the United States. Eventually we'd like to roll them out globally. We're also going to be putting together some training programs for facilitators that will be trained in the Compass Playbook framework so they can also be empowered to deliver the framework either if they want to do it as part of Compass Global, or if they want to go ahead and do this as part of a company or a team building or within an organization. So we have a lot of different ways to apply the science and technology of this work in different types of environments that we're working on rolling all of that out now.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. What an amazing answer to the question. So if I can clarify in my own mind for just a second, next year you're going to be putting out several different courses or workshops, and you yourself will be teaching them around the country, and you keep referring to we, so you apparently have a group of people that are helping you do this.
Yes, that is correct. We have a team. Initially, right now we're pretty small, but we do have a team of people that are supporting this work and interested in becoming facilitators as well as helping us, you know, just get the word out. But we're evolving how we're doing the workshop now. Remember I said when we were originally talking that when we did the original workshops, when the book was written, they're much different presentation. It was a very straightforward about the plays, about the actual exercises and doing the framework, getting people introduced to the thinking and the approach, and then it was just kind of like let them go off on their own. The new workshop format that we're developing now, which is why I'm not going to rush this, I want this to really be tested and a good format for people, is going to obviously include the what worked well in the original workshops, but it's going to be a much more multi-textured event where we're going to have, I will be speaking at specific events. So if people want to come and hear me and interact with me, then they can do that. Then we'll also have Compass Playbook Write Shops where they'll be facilitated, where I personally won't be there because I'm one person. I can only be in one place at one time. So that's why I want to empower other people to actually deliver this work. So a training component is really a big part of what we're doing so we can get it out there. Because this work is very experiential. And it's one thing to sit down and do an online course, which a lot of people really were asking for, which is why we developed the online program. They want to be able to sit in the privacy of their office and in their own space with their own energy and take their time in actually doing the writing and exploring what they want to explore as they evolve through the program. And then there are people that would rather have a live experience where they actually can interact, and that's what we're doing with these new workshops we're developing for next year, is they want to be able to have that interaction with whoever's leading it. So if I'm leading it, for example, I want to engage them and have that conversation, have that interaction. These workshops are not about me or a facilitator standing in the front of a room and saying, go do this, and lecturing to people. No, this is a very lively, creative problem-solving, fun activity. There's a lot of entertainment. There's, you know, a lot of creativity, a lot of group dynamic that happens, and the more fun we have, the better it is. So the live workshops are a beautiful complement to what people are doing online. I don't want it to be a replication of it. I want it to be a complement to it. So I hope that answers your question, Pam.
It does. It does very much. Thank you. I just have one other question before I turn it back over to Mark. How would you explain to our audience divergent brainstorming? Excuse me.
Divergent. I know. It's so funny. There's so much technology that goes into this work. From, you know, neuroplasticity and neuroeconomics, which are all about the brain cells making new neural connections. That's what learning is. It's actually cells creating and connecting. So our brain is learning, oh, this is how I'm going to do this now. That's the moments of inspiration and learning. To things like very specific brainstorming and creative problem solving coming right out of Osborne Parnes, which is divergent brainstorming. And divergent brainstorming is basically where, do you ever get a bunch of people together and say, okay, let's brainstorm a solution on how we're going to, you know, find this, solve this problem. And everybody just makes lists or, you know, I remember going to one event with the Creative Education Foundation, CIPSE conference, which is a great Osborne Parnes inspired conference that happens every year, and that's all they do is just have fun and creativity. And we were in this one session, and we had post-it notes everywhere, and our group was challenged with coming up with as many ideas as possible on how we could solve this. And it's really cool because that true divergent brainstorming, when you really go outside the box, I mean, I hate using that cliche, but you think of some of the most bizarre solutions possible, and you put them up there. And so everybody's writing all kinds of solutions from, you know, like aliens coming down and, you know, fixing the problem for us, and then, you know, my Uncle Bob coming and helping us learn how to tune that piano so it played right so we could do the concert, you know, whatever the topic was. And it was so much fun, and what ended up happening was the divergence, which is basically an explosion out. Okay, so you're just going out and just being crazy and coming up with as many ideas as possible. Within those ideas, you actually come up with a true, valid, amazing solution that you never would have come up with if you just sat there and thought, okay, well, we could do this or we could do that. So it's just a really fun way to stretch the brain, to think outside the box and come up with wonderful solutions. And then you bring it back down and you say, okay, why would this work? And let's bring this in. How could we combine these two things together? So that's just one of many of the techniques that go into the framework.
Okay. Wow. That's, I think that's fascinating. How does divergent brainstorming differ from regular brainstorming? You mentioned that it was really far out there, but I'm not quite sure I understand the thread that connects it once you begin solidifying it a little more to come up with solutions that make sense.
Right, that's a good question, Pam. And it really has a lot to do with the context of the purpose of the brainstorming. So what are the goals you're trying to do? And that's the wonderful system that literally the science of creative problem solving that was developed by Osborne Parnes. And this is part of the process that you go through for doing this problem solving. And the way I look at it with divergent, it's almost like divergent brainstorming is a way of describing the type of brainstorming from a step in that process. So when people basically say brainstorming, it's kind of the same thing. It's just more scrutiny inside the actual brainstorming action. So it's kind of like a scientific label, if you will, that describes the difference, the distinction. So there is and there isn't a distinction. It depends on how closely you come into it. So that's how I would probably address that.
Okay. Mark, do you want to jump in here? Do you have a question?
Sure, yes. We'll start with some basic stuff first there, and that is why don't you go ahead and give out your website?
Okay, sure. Yes, if anybody's interested in learning more about Compass Playbook, it is the site is on online. You can go to compassplaybook.com, and that's C-O-M as in Mary, P as in Paul, A-S-S, P as in Paul, L-A-Y-B-O-O-K.com, so Compass Playbook. And we're also on Facebook, and you can just go into Facebook and type in the top Compass Playbook, and it will come up. Basically facebook.com/compassplaybook. And so that's how they can find out.
Mm-hmm. And for people who want to get a little bit of a sample of that, we have a special for our listeners now and for the replay later that if they go to your courses tab, there is the possibility, of course, to directly sign up for the relationship course and get started right away. But there's a little bit of a sample there also that they can take a look at to get a feel for the way the program works.
Absolutely, yeah. We have, currently the course is offered at a special reduced price, and they can learn more about that. And also there is we developed a webinar called 3 Steps to More Fire, More Love, and More Fun in Your Ideal Relationship. Just a 35-minute webinar that basically it pulls some of the best plays from the actual course and includes a 30-day implementation plan that will give whoever does the little webinar new insight into writing a story that supports their ideal relationship. And it's a lot of fun, and I talk a little bit more about myself in the actual webinar and talk about my past relationship and, you know, kind of what's motivating me. And that's the other thing. It's like I have done these plays are not just random things I've pulled out of my head. These are solutions that I've found work best for me and have been tested on other people through the write shops that we did when I wrote the book, excuse me. And I use these still. I do these plays daily. Every day I get up in the morning and I'm like, okay, where am I at? What is my story that I'm going to be living today? How can I get that story one that supports what I want? And like, well, what would be a good play to do that with? And I go through and I have some of my favorites, of course. And I just did one the other day called, it was the one on, oh my goodness, I can't remember it. It was the one on letting go. And just kind of, because I was focused on something. I can't remember specifically what it was, but I remember I was just so like tied to the outcome. I was like, oh, I just need to, you know, do a play to release this tension around this. And I did the Let It Go play, and I felt so much better afterwards. So I'm always trying these out, coming up with new plays, seeing how people respond and adapting. So this work is a living creature as far as I'm concerned. It's always evolving. So I think that this free sample is a great way for people to take that test drive and to really find out, you know, if it's something that will work for them.
So with that, let's go ahead and ask the question I'm sure a lot of our listeners want to know, and that is, I know for me and Pam, when we've coached people or done different intuitive guidance and stuff like that, you know, the most common question that comes up is about relationships. And I guess, you know, from your experience of creating the program and working with people in workshops, you know, when someone comes to you and says, listen, I want to find my significant soulmate, twin flame, you know, relationship, what is the biggest thing that people normally go through in that development of getting that perfect relationship to come in?
Well, that's not only a great question, Mark, but it's a very big question. And for every person, it is a unique solution. It's a unique answer because I can't even stand in a place where I would assume to know what anybody really wants. I can speak for myself and what my experience was, of course, and I can also share what people who have shared what they've gotten out of the course have said to me. And one of the things that I do see in regards to patterns that people are experiencing is that we seem to have a story about who we are that is insufficient, meaning we don't feel that we're worthy of this ideal, of this soulmate. Soulmate is rather cliche. I don't prefer to use it, but because it expresses an idea for most people, it, you know, I find myself using it, so for this context, it's fine. But if we have this soulmate or this ideal relationship that we're looking for, and everything is about out there. And yet, if we're not feeling that we're adequate or that we're worthy of that ideal, then nothing is ever going to happen. We're going to still keep repeating the same patterns. We're still going to keep attracting and having experiences of the same types of, that reinforce and mirror what we really feel about ourselves. And most people are really not present to that. They're not aware that they have this story about who they are that is preventing that soulmate from coming into their experience, that is preventing that ideal person from really being in their life and from them enjoying that type of a relationship. I mean, I know people that are married and are completely disenfranchised by one another because they're so not present to their own love for their selves and for the commitment that they made. But yet they want to have that person in their life. They're not trying to escape it. They can't figure out why it's not there anymore, why that fire's gone. And a lot of it is, you know, it's so easy to use that other person as the excuse for why our life is not working, because they're right there next to us, walking it with us. And what I've found is that when people stop and look at who they are in relationships, that it's really not about what the other person brings to them or how that other person makes them complete or whole. It's all about them really understanding how they can achieve that on their own and discovering that they are lovable, that they are completely worthy and perfect just the way they are, and that they don't really have to do anything in order to get the love that they want. And there are many teachers out there that are saying this, you know, professing this message about self-love, about understanding and appreciating of self. Because if you're not feeling that way about yourself, how are you going to be that person who's going to be able to be the ideal soulmate or ideal partner for someone else? So that's something that I noticed right off the bat, that people are very unsure about their own lovability and their own ability to stand in how incredibly powerful and worthy that they are just as they are where they are. And we go through that right from the very beginning, because that's such a core belief that we have to address in order for people to get out of the program what they need to get out of.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Thank you. Pam, why don't you go ahead and ask the show closing question?
Okay, Terry, this is something that it's come to me several times while you were talking, and I want to make sure I get it in before the end of the show. And that is, your words, the way that you he said, I wake up in the morning and I decide what my story is for the day, and I write the play because I want to make sure that what I'm doing, who I'm actually, you didn't say this, but it's like who I'm being aligns with what I want to create. And the concept of the playbook, I initially had the idea that it was a book that you would sit and draw in and draw your ideas and write your creations and that sort of thing. And that was a lovely concept in itself. But I just sort of feel like there's a deeper level that we really haven't touched on. And I wanted to ask you if you knew what I was talking about, if you could address that.
Yes, Pam, thank you. And thank you for picking up on that. And
you're welcome.
You know, because I am the author of this work and I am the creator of this work, the amount of content that's in my brain about what this is more than a one-hour program can contain. But you are right in that you said that how you described the playbook, what you imagined it would be. It is. I mean, that's why it was printed as a physical book to begin with, because you can actually do all of that work in there. I chose the word playbook for several reasons. One, play. Life is meant to be fun. I want this experience that people have to be fun. I want people to live the life that they want and enjoy doing it. It shouldn't be a chore to figure out how to solve the problems that we have in life. It should be fun, and that we are the creators of that world. Now, using our creative abilities, because we've got, you know, the ability to do that, and it makes sense. A lot of us get it. You know, we get that whole framework and understanding around what that is. It's just almost like an excuse to fool the brain into adopting these new stories, which really, aka belief systems, thoughts, things you keep thinking about yourself and what you're saying about yourself. Because remember, everything is perceptual. You know, we're perceiving the world through our own brain, through our own eyes, what we experience. And we have stories about what that all means to us. So we're adding meaning to it. So we live our life as if what we're perceiving is our reality. So when we start with ourselves using these fun and creative tools to pull out what that is and take a look at it and go, wow, that's not really the person I want to be, nor is it the person I am. Why don't I invent a new story? Why don't I write a story about myself that works, that gets me the things that I want, that puts me in a place where I'm achieving the outcomes I'm looking for? And it's not about this arduous journey of goal setting and I got to do this every day. And it's like, no, this is fun. I am inspired. I'm getting ideas. I'm focused on the things that I'm passionate about. I'm looking at life in a totally new and refreshing way where I see possibility and I can stand in a place and create and define who I am and who I want to be. And I can change that every single day.
Wow. Well, that was an amazing answer, and that was exactly what I was going for and hope to hear. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mark, you're so welcome. And I really, I'm looking forward to getting on the website myself and checking it out, because what you said is very inspiring and very creative and very uplifting, and I love you.
Well, I love you too, wow. Anne. Thank you so much.
All right, Mark,
so,
go ahead.
So let me go ahead and close the show out. Terry, I just want to ask you in closing, you know, with your life so far and everything, what is the biggest life lesson you've learned so far that you like to share with everybody?
Oh, life is meant to be wonderful.
Yeah, I kind of felt that when you were talking about how you answered Pam's question. You kind of summed it up, I think, the way a lot of different teachers have, and it's amazing that the course is going to give that to a lot of people in whatever way they need to find it. And I think that's the nice thing about the course in the different areas, is that your course allows the individual to find it in their own way. And it's going to that core belief that you said. It just kind of spoke to me so loudly when you were answering Pam's question, when you said it's about life being fun. It's about finding solutions to the problems that we come across in life so that we can live a life that flows instead of trying to fight against everything. So just totally amazing that you shared that. And why don't you go ahead and give out the website to everybody?
Yes, again, it's compassplaybook.com, and you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/compassplaybook.
Sounds great. As always, Pam, it's great having you on. And Terry, thanks for coming in and sharing your program with everybody and talking about it and answering all the questions and everything like that.
Well, thank you both very, very much for having me. If you ever want to have me back to do anything specific with your listeners regarding some live plays, fun things we could do, I would be more than happy to come on and do that with you.
I love that idea. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're really going to be excited when the abundance one comes out. Of course, I'm excited to be working through the relationship one. So, all right. Thank you, everybody. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.
Good night. Thanks, Karen.
Life is but a dream.